what's topical is what's at the grocery store. And what's at the grocery store at this time of the year is we're starting to shift from the summer crops into the fall crops. And, you know, for me, pitted fruit is all about summer. I remember as a kid looking forward to Memorial Day, not just for the Memorial Day parade that we had in the little town I grew up in Pinellas County, but looking forward to Georgia peaches. And so first it was the peaches, and then it was the cherries, and then it was the nectarines, and then the plums, and then the apricots. And boy, I love those pitted fruits all summer. And so from Memorial Day to Labor Day, all I can think about is pitted fruits. But once Labor Day gets here, even though it's not the end of summer, really, that doesn't happen for three more weeks, I begin to think about the fruits of fall, the pears, the apples, and the grapes. And the grapes have showed up, that perfect package of sweetness that you can just pop in your mouth. Did you know they're a berry? Yeah, isn't that wild to hear that, that grapes are actually a berry? And you've heard me on No Nonsense Nutrition say you can't find better foods than berries. They have so much concentrated nutrition in them. Anything that has a lot of skin to flesh ratio. So there's a lot of skin on a blueberry, but not a lot of flesh. Same thing is true with all the rest of the berries, including grapes. There are a few of you out there that you're not the least interested in table grapes, but you're sure interested in wine grapes. But grapes in every form, popping them out of your hand, or pouring them in a glass. Or for those of you that are looking for those raisins in your cereal, you're also the grape lover. And so there's plenty of good things to say about grapes, and as always, the darker the better. You know that rule, the darker the better. White grapes versus red grapes, which one has more nutrition? Red grapes versus black grapes, which one has more nutrition? Always the darker the better. So whether you're talking about cauliflower versus broccoli, or you're talking about honeydew versus cantaloupe, every time you get that dark pigment, you're getting higher concentrations of nutrients. Well, grapes have remarkably, too many syllables in that word, remarkably wonderful extracts and phytonutrients that are absolutely believed to play a role in longevity. And so we're going to get around to talking about resveratrol, that amazing phytonutrient. But we got to know that there's all kinds of other good things that are going on when it comes to grapes. You know, when we look at the fact that less than one out of a dozen Americans actually eats a quart of fruits and vegetables in the course of the day. And that's always been my recommendation, that we look for a pint of fruit and a quart of vegetables. And that seems like a ton. If you're not a fruit and vegetable eater, it really seems like a ton. But I'm always amazed because I read food diaries in my practice every day and have for almost 30 years. How many people don't get one or two cups of fruit in every day and don't get 2 to 4 cups of vegetables in every day? I just feel like I build every meal around those fruits and vegetables. And yes, by the way, I did have a big handful of red grapes before this show started. You know, our target goal, the target goal that the Center for Disease Control and the U.S. Department of Health put out of 5 a day, that 5 fruit plus vegetable servings per day, it's not enough. It's just not enough. It's going to take a lot closer to 3 fruit servings in a day and 5 to 9 vegetable servings in a day to really get the protection that you need. But you want to include a serving of grapes or raspberries or blueberries or strawberries or cranberries or mulberries for us Florida folks in your daily meal plan because of the amount of protection that it offers you. You know, the first protection that you get is against age-related macular degeneration. You know, I'm on a campaign about this. I talked about it last week when we talked about egg yolks and how very critical egg yolks are for the content of lutein. Actually, it's lutein and zeaxanthin. When we look at age-related macular degeneration. It's a leading cause of blindness for people over 50 years old. And so as we're moving into living these very long years, we want to make sure we take our eyeballs with us. And so getting those, you know, couple of cups of fruit in every day. I love fruit as a first food of the day. You know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, I start the day with a bowl of fruit. No, I don't do it every day. But often that late afternoon snack, you know, it's 4 o'clock and everybody's headed for the chips or the cookies or the soda or, you know, something to put in their mouth. That's a great place for you to have that bowl of grapes sitting right by your side and popping those grapes in the late afternoon. We can use grapes to support the moisture in the lungs of people who are asthmatics. When I was living in Arizona, I was amazed at the dry asthma that I saw that we don't see as frequently here in Florida, but I could see individuals eat a cup of grapes and literally be able to breathe better. You know, grapes increase the nitric oxide levels in your blood. That's not nitrous oxide that you got from the dentist to go to Goofy Land. That's nitric oxide, which helps to lower your blood pressure and increase your blood flow. Grapes increase nitric oxide in your blood, and so it reduces your chance of a heart attack. It prevents the oxidation of LDL, and you've started to hear on No Nonsense Nutrition that oxidized LDL is really the enemy in cholesterol. Cholesterol is not the problem. It's never been the problem. It's never going to be the problem. The real issue is high triglycerides and high oxidized LDL. Grapes are going to give us protection against heart disease. You know, I was originally learning about home remedies, and grapes were one of the first things that I saw on the list for migraines, because oftentimes if a brain isn't getting enough glucose, just flat out enough glucose, we need 100 grams of glucose every day just to keep our brain working, that we can trigger a migraine if we don't have enough carbs in the diet. And so, you know, taking a little shot of grape juice, not wine, but grape juice was one of the things that was a wonderful preventative against migraines. Grapes are very effective in overcoming constipation. They're considered an organic laxative, as it were, because they contain both sugar and cellulose fiber. You know, we got winners all the way across the board when we're talking about grapes. So these health benefits show up all over the world. You know, there are very few fruits that show as much literature that is beneficial as grapes do. Antarctica is the only place that they don't grow them. But these amazing nutrients that are in there include these categories like still beans. Now, no, it's not a bean that's not moving, a still bean. But it is the category that we put in the incredibly beneficial compound resveratrol. And resveratrol is fundamentally in the grape skins, but it's also a little bit in the grape seeds and the grape flesh. But it increases the expression of the genes that are related to longevity. You know, there's a lot of work that has been done to understand how we are expressing these genes that have to do with longevity. Turns out calorie restriction is one of the things that turns these genes on. Well, I think calorie restriction is a program that was designed by Satan! Because calorie restriction, you might live longer, but why would you want to? So the nature of calorie restriction is it does turn on certain of these genes, and probably it's easy for it to roll off your tongue that you're talking about sirtuins or FOXOs or PBEFs. No, you haven't heard of all of those genes. Maybe the sirtuins. SIRT1 is probably a gene that we are going to be talking about in the popular literature because of the fact that it increases our chances for healthy aging and for longevity. So when we begin to look at these antioxidant benefits, we're going to get antioxidant benefits, anti-inflammatory benefits, cardiovascular benefits, yeah, from something as simple as grapes. But the phytonutrients that play a role in longevity and anti-aging are really the best studied, and resveratrol is it. When we upregulate these CERT genes and these FOXO genes, we duplicate what happens in a calorie-restricted diet. Do you love that? Do you love the fact that the supplement resveratrol can give us the same effect as calorie restriction and upregulating these anti-aging genes? I think it's pretty groovy. And so when we look at resveratrol, resveratrol has become one of the more popular supplements that are out there. But there's a huge big difference in quality. You know, this bioflavonoid complex, and really what you do is you put together several ingredients: resveratrol, tyrosyl bean, and quercetin. Now, you've heard of quercetin because you've been listening to No Nonsense Nutrition. You know it's the pigment that shows up in the skin of red apples and in the skin of peanuts and in red onions. But you probably never heard of tyrosyl bean. These ingredients put together all enhance each other. And so we're not just going to find resveratrol in grapes. We're going to find it in various berries. We're going to find it, like I said, in the skins of the peanuts. We're going to find it in plums, another one of the major harvests. That's the latest of the pitted fruit harvest are the plums. That dark purple pigment, great for your brain. And so there is a certain way that tyrosyl bean, which is derived from a plant called Japanese knotweed, it's kind of like the other resveratrol. And I can't emphasize enough the way that we talk to our genes with every plate of food that we eat. You know, if you looked at your plate of food and you thought of your plate of food as a letter that you were writing to your genes to tell your genes how to behave, you know, you can change the messages that your genes transmit to your body. Because a lot of people think of genes as fixed units. They're fixed units of hereditary information. You got half your genes from your mama, half your genes from your daddy. That help you determine all your physical characteristics, your hair color, your eye color, how tall you are, all sorts of things. Well, we're starting to learn it may have to do with how your personality is expressed, how you think, how you move. But the way we express our genes, the stimuli that comes from either outside the body or inside the body can switch a gene on or off. And so we want to switch on protective genes and switch off harmful ones. That's called modulating gene expression. It's really one of the most exciting areas of medical research. And this is one of the reasons that here on No Nonsense Nutrition, I'm constantly campaigning for you to eat pure food, for you to eat as much organically as you possibly can, for you to reduce your exposure to toxic chemicals. Because we don't know how those chemicals talk to our genes. If you expose your body to chemicals that your body's never seen before, we don't know if you're going to upregulate a harmful gene or downregulate a beneficial gene. And so when we look at a wonderful food like grapes and we see that it showed up on the Dirty Dozen list, you know, the Dirty Dozen list is the environmental working group list of the 12 fruits and vegetables that have the highest concentration of pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides. That list is created by the United States Department of Agriculture after testing 100,000 specimens of fruits and vegetables. And so when we, you know, pick up a handful of grapes, especially imported grapes, and we're getting toxic agents on them, we're going to affect the way that our genes are triggered. And that becomes especially critical when we're dealing with kids. You know, when we look at the urinary concentrations of the metabolites of various kinds of pesticides, most notably organophosphates, one of the more dangerous ones, we can find a direct relationship between attention deficit hyperactivity and the concentration of these pesticides that show up in the urine of these children. When we take kids that have the diagnostic criteria for ADHD and we measure these metabolites in their urine, they're higher than kids who don't have ADHD. Now, is it that they are exposed more to these pesticides, or is it that they can't metabolize the pesticides? We don't know the answer. But when we look at the pesticide residues that were found in grapes, when I looked up the United States Department of Agriculture pesticide data program, I found out that there were 34 different pesticides that were found in grapes, four of them that were known to be carcinogenic or cancer-causing, 17 that were suspected of hormone disruption, but 10 of them are neurotoxic. Six of them had to do with reproductive toxins. And there was actually 14 different honeybee toxins that were found on the grapes. When we begin to look at the fact that eating real food is what we have to do to keep from having bad gene expression, turning on genes that actually are harmful to us. So when we look at resveratrol, this wonderful compound that occurs naturally in the grapes, in the blueberries, in the plums, we begin an entire molecular cascade of awakening the disease-preventing genes. So resveratrol's beneficial genetic action really takes place upstream. It takes place at the very beginning of the activation of good things in our body. That's the reason that we think it may help to prevent cancer and diabetes, why it supports healthy blood lipid levels, why it, in fact, mimics calorie restriction. You know, we're supposed to have this program cell death, this automatic timing where the cell has lived a certain number of days and it croaks itself. Apoptosis is the programmable cell death. And we want that to work. We want a normal turnover of cells to take place. So we don't want that cell to live forever. An immortal cell is called a cancer. So when we use terostilbene and resveratrol and we put them together with quercetin, we modulate these genes that have to do with apoptosis and allow the cell to live its normal life and croak itself. And that's exactly what we want it to do. We're starting to find out that when we leave these old cells around, they end up causing problems for us. So when we look at things like cognition and memory, both resveratrol and terostilbene have a remarkable effect on learning and memory. It may help us to prevent the loss of dopamine from our memory centers, the substantia nigra, the part of our brain, the only part of our brain that's black, manufactures dopamine. And people that don't manufacture dopamine can end up with muscle coordination disorders like Parkinsonianism. But what we see is that this brain signaling protein that happens in the hippocampus, in the other areas of the brain that have to do with coordination, in the places that manufacture dopamine, all of them contain these resveratrol-like compounds, and so we believe that, and the evidence is starting to multiply in the research, that it expresses a benefit to your cognition and a benefit to your memory. This incredible pharmacological effect of cancer prevention enhancing insulin sensitivity, increasing lifespan, helping your memory, protecting your eyeballs. You know, there's not a lot of foods that you can make that kind of list for. So grapes, yeah, they're the bomb. And resveratrol taken as a supplement also. You know, I use a resveratrol supplement personally, and one pill is equivalent to 27 bottles of wine. Now, I couldn't drink 27 bottles of wine in one day, although I have to tell you, as a scientist, I have tried this experiment. Problem with science is you have to repeat it, and I don't think you ever want to repeat that experiment. So when we take resveratrol orally, we want to know that resveratrol's anti-inflammatory properties may be the reason that it has such far-reaching health benefits. But resveratrol doesn't stay in your system for very long. And so if we really want to have this kind of chemo protection, this kind of protection from these compounds, we need to make sure that that resveratrol stays in our system as long as possible. So if you're going to go out and buy resveratrol supplements, then you want to look for that cocktail, that combination of resveratrol and pterostilbene and quercetin together, because these are methylated compounds, and these methyl groups are something that's real important for detoxification. Whenever we control the delivery of methyl groups or things that support methylation in the body, like vitamin B12 and vitamin B6 and folic acid, we improve the body across the board. So methylating a molecule allows better absorption, better metabolic stability, better transport of the nutrient. So there is a difference between the good, the bad, the ugly out there in terms of supplements. You know, I get people come in the clinic all the time with these cheese ball supplements. And, you know, my complaint is not price. My complaint is quality. If we can find inexpensive supplements that are of really good quality, go for it. Some ingredients, it doesn't really matter a whole lot. They're the same whether they're in the fancy bottle or they're selling them with 8 gallons of gas. But in other things like resveratrol, it makes a huge big difference whether they're methylated or not. So we want to get these antioxidant benefits, and we get them not only from resveratrol, but from things like vitamin C. Things like manganese. We don't get enough manganese in our diet. Nobody ever hears and talks about manganese. We talk about magnesium, but not manganese. And yet you have dozens and dozens and dozens, and I think it's somewhere between 90 and 130 different enzymes that you can't make if you don't have manganese. So when you have a handful of grapes, that's all it takes. You don't have to eat a bucket full of them. And you get even a milligram of manganese in a cup of grapes, you're doing yourself a big favor. You're going to get a little vitamin K and a little vitamin C and some B1 and some potassium and some B6. All those things are going to be in grapes. It's not just sweets. We spit out the pips. You know, a lot of people still believe that seedless grapes are genetically engineered. They're not. They're just mutants. But we, if we get seeded grapes, you know, we spit out those pips. But grapeseed oil is another thing that we can think about, because it's certainly got a long history of ingredients all the way back to the Old Testament. When I spoke with one of my clients who's a Bible scholar, she talked about the fact that the prophet Daniel was eating a dish called pulse, and we always thought that those were beans, but some of the research, some of the Bible research indicates maybe that was grapeseed oil. And so I don't like to cook with grapeseed oil because it's got a lot of polyunsaturates in it, but if you're making your salad dressing, don't forget grapeseed oil. It's got benefits too. Not only is it going to protect the skin and protect the eyeballs, it's going to give you the kind of omega-6 fatty acids that are the good omega-6 fatty acids. So grape skins, grape flesh, grape pips, hey, it's all good. You know, why do I want to talk about grapes on Labor Day? because it would be hard for me to talk about Labor Day without talking about Cesar Chavez. You know, a lot of people put Gandhi up there as a really wonderful example of a peaceful resistance. And as we look at this particular time in the political atmosphere of America, it's sometimes hard to maintain peaceful resistance when you want to pop somebody in the nose. But in fact, Cesar Chavez is certainly my hero when it comes to peaceful resistance. You know, when I look at what this Mexican-American did for labor in this country, he did so with a struggle that was all around grapes originally. You know, the United Farm Workers, if it wasn't for the National Farm Workers Association, which ultimately became the United Farm Workers, I don't know that we would have any protection for the people that are bringing the food to your table. You know, it's easy for me to get in the car and drive to the market and, you know, grab a bag of grapes and put it in my cart and go through the checkout line and go home and wash them in the sink and pop them in my mouth and enjoy them without thinking about all the steps that happened before. All of the farmers that were out there planting these grapes and, you know, tilling the soil and nurturing the crops. But I also have to recognize the field workers, especially the field workers in California that were the primary grape pickers at the time, even though we're growing grapes in New York and Pennsylvania and California and other places, even right here in Sarasota County. What's true is it was Cesar Chavez's work as a bargaining agent for the California grape pickers that really moved us off the set point that we had in this country for activism when it came to community service. When I look at Chavez's history, you know, born in fundamentally a shack right in Arizona, and this is where I was really introduced to the history of Chavez. He worked in the fields. And, you know, he left school in eighth grade because he didn't want his mother to work in the fields. And he saw the tremendous backbreaking work that was done by the grape pickers. And when the following began to be created for the farm workers' struggle, when the moral cause of the farm workers' struggle began to be awakened across the nation, and the support began because people just refused to buy table grapes, it was the beginning of an expression of nonviolent activism that I have tremendous admiration for. And those workers' rights issues continue to today. The farm workers haven't gone away. And it was interesting when I was at WMNF in Tampa at an event where they aired the movie Veducated. A really interesting movie about three individuals that were dyed-in-the-wool meat and cheese eaters, and they became vegan for 6 weeks, and what they went through in their personal struggles and the awakening of their awareness. And there were a lot of commentaries that were made afterward in the panel that I served on about the number of individuals who became vegetarians or became vegans as a result of violence to animals. And they simply could not justify taking an animal's life in order for them to live. And so I honor that decision that they've made in their heart and in their action. But, you know, I bring it to mind that there are vegans out there that are buying, you know, tomatoes at Publix. And Publix is, as a privately held company, one of the companies that has not signed on to the penny a pound campaign that the Immokalee tomato workers created. You know, the Florida tomato industry has had going on for about the last 10 years a campaign for fair food. It's a farm worker led effort to improve wages and working conditions in the field. And some of the very major companies that we have in America that are tomato buyers, people like Taco Bell, signed on to this, you know, almost a decade ago. And it took a while for more and more companies to sign on. In fact, just 6 months ago, Trader Joe's, that's going to be opening here in Sarasota very soon, was one of the laggards to sign on to the penny a pound increase. You know, when you realize that the Immokalee tomato pickers are paid piece rate wages, they receive an average of 50 cents for every 32 pounds of tomatoes they pick. So they have to pick 2.25 tons of tomatoes to make a minimum wage in a 10-hour workday. Yeah, think about that. You know, there's no workplace protections. They're denied shade. They're denied water. They endure dangerous pesticide exposure. They have no right to report abuses. You know, when I heard the story about the 20 workers that were held in a trailer at gunpoint back in 07 down in Immokalee, it's a heartbreaker. You know, there have been 9 federally prosecuted slavery cases in the last decade right here in the state of Florida. That doesn't make the front page of the Sarasota Herald. And so, you know, when you tune into No Nonsense Nutrition and you're going, oh, Eve, I want to learn about grapes and I want to learn about resveratrol. Well, we also need to learn about the campaign for fair food. We need to look at the idea that if you're going to make a trip to Publix today to buy the stuff for your Labor Day picnic and you're buying a tomato, you're buying it from a company that is one of the last companies to sign on to assist these field workers in getting even a minimum wage. So, you know, the supermarket campaign that the Coalition of Immokalee Workers is pushing forward is going on. It's going on today. And so, you know, if you ever look at the fantastic book called Tomato Land, you'll get an idea of the amount of just straight out persecution that takes place. And so how do I tie those stories together? You know, individuals who want to become vegetarians and vegans because they don't want to hurt animals, but they'll go to Publix and they'll buy a tomato that will guarantee that they will hurt a human. There's some kind of conflict in there. And if one of you listeners out there that's smarter than I am can help me resolve that conflict, I'm sure willing to listen. But it would be impossible for me to do a show on Labor Day without talking about the labor of the individuals that bring you your dinner that brought me my grapes that I enjoyed on the way here to the station. And so, yes, I want the anti-inflammatory benefits, and I want to protect my cell membranes from radical damage, and I want to lower the levels of, you know, terrible things that are in my blood with grapes, but I also want to have a clear conscience when I eat them. It's a very different thing picking a tomato in your backyard and picking one off the countertop at Publix. Think about it. You know, no body system is really better situated to get benefits from the antioxidants that are in grapes than the cardiovascular system. Every cell in our blood needs protection from oxygen damage. Our blood linings need strong antioxidant support. That's why we count even that little bit of vitamin C that shows up in the grape. When we look at the cardio benefits that show up from grapes and the components of grapes, it's probably the most impressive of all the grape benefits, and some people have referred to it as the French paradox. You know, there was a lot of research about heart health in the French population because they eat a tremendous amount of saturated fat. So their overall diet is high in sat fats, and we thought that was trouble. But then we looked at their regular consumption of red wine. Now, the idea that red wine, obviously from red grapes, could help explain the French paradox is one more reason for us to consider grapes as a great addition to a heart-healthy diet. So we look at wine. Now, we know that red wine contains resveratrol that confers these health benefits, and it isn't present in white wine. That doesn't mean white wine doesn't give us a benefit. Remember, 1.5 ounces of alcohol or a 5-ounce glass of wine or a 12-ounce can of beer all contain about the same alcohol. And that alcohol has a blood-thinning effect. And it may be that blood-thinning effect all by itself that makes a difference in reducing the risk of heart attack, of stroke, and even of cancer as a result of using alcohol. But because the resveratrol has a potential for therapy for all kinds of diseases, from type 2 diabetes to Alzheimer's to heart disease, we want to put a plus on the red wine side of the equation. Wine drinkers have a 34% lower mortality rate than beer drinkers or spirit drinkers, you know, whiskey drinkers, hard liquor drinkers. The Finns did a study, an almost 30-year study. And that's where that 34% lower mortality information came from. It was printed in the Journal of Gerontology. Moderate drinkers that suffer from high blood pressure are 30% less likely to have a heart attack than non-drinkers. That was a 16-year study that Harvard did on almost 12,000 men. These tannins that are in red wine contain procyanidins. Procyanidins are compounds that are, again, the pigment, the protection against heart disease. And when we look at these procyanidins, these pigments, we know that they're in higher concentration in Pinot Noirs. And they're in higher concentration in wines that come from Southwest France, from Oregon, from Niagara. So the Oregon Pinot Noir and the Niagara Pinot Noir and the Sardinian red wines, these have some of these wonderful protective properties in higher concentrations than other wines have. We know as a result of an Amsterdam study that moderate drinkers have a 30% less risk than non-drinkers in developing type 2 diabetes. That's an astounding number. People that have the possibility of suffering a blood clot-related stroke, they can drop that risk by 50% if they're drinking even 2 ounces of wine a day. No, you don't have to have 27 bottles. Just 2 ounces of red wine a day, especially if it is a red wine that is high in these compounds, like resveratrol, like proanthocyanidins, these compounds help to reduce the risk of stroke and help to reduce the risk of heart attack. Moderate drinkers are even less likely to get cataracts than non-drinkers. When we look at colon cancer, moderate consumption of red wine cuts the risk of colon cancer by 45%. Brain function declines at a way faster rate in non-drinkers than in moderate drinkers. Neuroepidemiology, when they published that particular report about 5 or 6 years ago, it was an astounding report, because it really talked about the fact that the anti-inflammatory benefits and the cardiovascular benefits and the blood sugar benefits and the anti-aging benefits and the cognitive benefits that show up as a result of wine was profound. So you don't like wine and you don't want to drink. And I'm not endorsing alcohol. It's clear that it's caused a lot of problems for our families and for our nation. So you can do it with grape juice just as long as you're doing it organically. I don't want one of those 34 chemicals that the United States Department of Agriculture found in grapes showing up in your glass of grape juice. So that antioxidant plus fiber combination may be one of the reasons that colon cancer prevention is increased. It jumps out in the health research on grapes. It does even to a lesser extent as far as prostate cancer, because the fiber is needed for a healthy colon, and grapes give us 1 gram of fiber for every 60 calories. So you just eat, you know, literally what you can close your hand around in grapes, and you're getting a little bit of fiber. So the dark purple, the red, and the black grapes obviously are going to be the best choice, but it doesn't make the white grapes bad. But, you know, you mom and dads out there that are giving grapes to your kids, I really got to get on my hands and knees and beg you to give them organic grapes. Just rinsing them under the sink is not going to get methylparathion off of them. You know, it's estimated that over 300,000 children in this country are getting an unsafe dose of methylparathion in their food every day. It's so toxic that a five-year-old can't eat an apple with any detectable methylparathion on it without being exposed to an unsafe dose of the pesticides. Two bites of some apples and peaches are contaminated for any kid that's under 6 years old, and the same thing is true when it comes to grapes. When we look at eliminating organophosphate insecticides in children's foods, it brings us to banning the use of this methylparathion along with other organophosphates because of this relationship that has been found to hyperactivity. So, yeah, I want you to give your kids their fruits and vegetables, but I want you to especially give them their fruits and vegetables that are organic. And, you know, if you don't buy everything organic, at least buy those 12 things that are on the Dirty Dozen list organic. When we're looking at apples and celery and bell peppers and spinach, you know, we're looking at foods that commonly have high pesticide residues. And if just rinsing took care of it, then it wouldn't show up in the tests at all because all of this produce is washed prior to being tested by the United States Department of Agriculture. When we look at this hypothesis that organophosphate exposure, pesticide exposure, can be so toxic in kids, especially kids under six where their nervous systems are developing, that it may in fact have contributed to ADHD. That's a shocking piece of information. So, no, I don't measure, urinary parathion in children in my practice, but I know it's a serious risk. And so when I see somebody in the grocery store taking the grapes right off the counter and giving it to their kid while they're in the grocery cart, you know, going through the grocery store, I have a little shudder that runs through my body. Be careful. And not just be careful for little kids. You know, an insecticide is a relic. It's a relic because the high toxic chemistry that we've used to grow our food isn't necessary anymore. You know, if we just took the neurotoxic effect of organophosphate insecticides in the food supply and just banned it, it would protect America's children. There are almost 30 countries across the globe who've already banned it or never registered it in the first place. So, yeah, I want you to eat grapes, but I want you to eat healthy grapes. Not real sure about the raisins. That's definitely a place where I want organic even more so than I do with the grapes. And yet raisins get stuffed into every granola bar, every cookie, every box of cereal. And so don't leave raisins off your careful list as you go out and buy those little boxes that you're going to feed those little kids' ears. You know, I want the natural protection against cancer. I've got a family that had, you know, grandma had throat cancer and Uncle Lee had prostate cancer and Uncle Al had liver cancer. You know, when you look at trying to tilt your diet to give yourself protection against the gene history that your family has, what you want to remember is that it's not the gene that you were given. It's the way that you tell the gene to express. And the more toxic chemicals that you put in your body, the more new-to-nature molecules that you put in your body, the more chances that you have of sending bad messages to the gene, and you get them to express in ways that are not beneficial for you. And so if you're one of the handful of people that's out there that just flat out don't like grapes and don't could care less and aren't drinking grape juice and aren't buying organic and it don't matter, well then, consider taking a resveratrol supplement. But make sure you look for that word methylated on that label, or you look for the word pterostilbene. And I'll trick you now, because it's like a dinosaur. It starts with a P that's silent, pterostilbene, with a P-T-E-R. But pterostilbene and quercetin and resveratrol, even if you took it twice a week, can give you numerous anti-inflammatory properties and far-reaching health benefits.